This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast.
And here we go, here we go.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
We have the latest on KU recruiting, analysis, and what the coaches and players are saying behind the scenes. Here are your hosts, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into another edition of the Inside Slant pregame podcast. And we have a fantastic show lined up for a huge opener to the Big 12 conference slate for your Kansas Jayhawks. KU is gearing up for BYU coming to Lawrence with two 3-0 teams facing off in Memorial Stadium. We're going to talk with Greg Wrubell, who is the play-by-play voice of the BYU Cougars, and he'll give us a great breakdown on Brigham Young's football program. We're going to talk some recruiting, too. And KU quarterback commit Isaiah Marshall will join us to talk about his season and somewhat he is doing a little work on trying to get him to commit to the Crimson and Blue. We'll give our predictions on the BYU game, break the whole thing down, give you everything you need to make sure you are primed and ready for Saturday afternoon against BYU. I'm not going to waste any more time. It's time to bring in my man on the Kansas football beat, the publisher of Jayhawk Slant, and my friend John Kirby. John, are you as fired up as I am?
Randy, I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready to head up to Lawrence on Saturday. That's going to be a great atmosphere. We got a sold-out crowd. Listen, BYU's going to bring a good contingent of fans. So, I mean, You know, it's going to be fun to see. I got to tell you, I did, right after we do this podcast, I'm going to do KSL out in Brigham Young. It's their big show. I'm going to do their show. And then I did another show at BYU last night. And then I talked to Greg, and we'll hear from him. God, the BYU people, I mean, they're excited. They're excited about the Big 12. They're excited to come out and play here. So I'm ready for it. I think it's going to be a good football game.
You know what? I think it's a fantastic matchup. I think this is going to be really and I know people have already started talking about it. I heard it this morning a little bit on 810. This is shaping up. The slate of games for this weekend is phenomenal anyway. But this matchup, I mean, you've got two 3-0 teams playing for the first time as conference foes. Two squads that have really played well. I mean, obviously, BYU went and played Arkansas, an SEC team last weekend, picked up a good quality win. Kansas, obviously, we talked about going out to Nevada, playing in the middle of the night, played extremely well despite some questionable officiating. But still, this shapes up as a heck of a matchup, and I am absolutely here for it. You know, let's get right into this. John, you know, we always start every one of these pregame podcasts with a look back at the previous week. You know, I mentioned the Nevada game playing in the middle of the night. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, Randy, I thought it was a strange game. I really did. It was
that's a good word for it.
You know, when you go back and really look at the game, I went back and watched parts of it, and when you break down the statistics and look at the football game inside the football game, I mean, Kansas was the better team, and they were. Kansas in the football aspect of things was always in control. Yep. And, you know, I thought the defense played well, ran to the ball again. I wrote a story on this, and, you know, Brian Borland brought this up at his press conference. I actually asked him about, you know, last year Kansas defense was in the hundreds, okay? And I get it. They've only played three games. But right now, Randy, KU's got like the number two ranked defense in the Big 12 in total defense and number 21 in the country. And I can't remember the last time you and I could do a show 3 weeks into the season and say that about the defense. So,
John, we didn't have a podcast the last time that was happening. In fact, I'm not sure podcasts were a thing yet the last time that happened.
That's right. We'd have to go back to the Bill Young days.
Oh, man.
That happened. But, you know, and Borland brought up the havoc, which is, you know, forced fumbles and sacks and tackles for loss and divided by total plays. And, you know, I know some people may say it's one of those weird statistics, but it said he's something that, you know, it's something that they look at KU. And right now, when you look at what they call havoc defense, Kansas is ranked number one in the country right now in that. And I got to tell you, Randy, the story for me, somebody asked me the other day, we were talking about offense and how it all revolves around offense. And I said, hold on, I got to tell you something. Through three games, to me right now, the story's not the offense. The story's the defense of KU's football program. We knew what the offense was supposed to do, okay? We knew that 10 starters were coming back. We knew that all the skill guys were back. We knew that they understood Kotelnicki's system. We knew and we had expectations what the offense was. Our questions going in, how good could the defense be? And it wasn't even how good could the defense be. It was, can
could
they,
the defense be any
right,
good?
Exactly. So now when you look at this, you're like, God, these guys are flying to the ball. They're playing physical up front. They're hitting you. I mean, they're giving up like 270 yards or something a game. I mean, I can't remember the last time that's happened. So I'm impressed with the defense. I thought they played well the other night. You know, Nevada hit on a couple long plays. And, you know, for the most part, they didn't really move the ball a lot on the Jayhawks defense. Hey, listen, once again, Jalen Daniels was efficient, 21 to 27. I thought Quentin Skinner had some huge catches. Devin Neal continues to look good. And listen, it was a first road game. It's out there. It's 9:30. To those kids' bodies, it's 9:30. They didn't get done until 12. I remember I'm listening to Lance do the press conference at 1 in the morning. You know,
Lance sounded like he was getting drowsy.
Hey, I was getting drowsy. I was right until 2 in the morning. So I joked with Lance. I asked him at the press conference this week. I said, are you excited for a 2:30 game? And you could tell his face lit up. He's thinking, yeah, I'm ready for a 2:30 game. But hey, you know what, Randy, I'll end with this on the thoughts of Nevada. Lance said this. He said, at Kansas right now, we have to embrace wins. That was his quote. All right.
Yes, he did. And I loved that.
And he's saying, I don't care if we went on the road and we didn't play well, we won. Okay. I don't care that they were 28 point favorites and they only won by 7. The fact of the matter is, they won. And for Kansas to just get road wins, those have been so few and far between over the last 13, 14 years that I get what he's saying. You take every win you can get.
I love that he made a comment specifically that I really loved. He was like, you've got to celebrate those wins. And I absolutely agree with that. This has been a long time coming. And there are a lot of guys in this program that hung around through some really dark days that probably wondered, you know, they might not have even been able to dream that things would be where they are, especially as quick as they've gotten there. And I love that Coach said that. I agree with him completely. You know, it is going on the road in a difficult situation because of the time, because of the altitude, because of the heat, because of missing multiple players off your defense due to questionable suspensions by officials, all kinds of things. There was a lot of adversity, and Kansas handled it very well. You know, you talked about that. You talked about the defense. The thing that I love is, you know, you talk about Borland's system and the havoc detail or statistic that they're looking at. That's the thing. They are extremely disciplined, and they did give up some big plays, just like you said. But I think I also heard Coach Borland make the point this week. Those were aggressive plays. They were giving up big plays because they were being aggressive. And sometimes you're going to get beat, but you can't coach the way that they are flying to the football. They play inside out. They flow. They are extremely gap sound. That's one of the things that I've noticed. And especially against some of the spread offenses and everything, that's not something you hear a lot of talk about this in the current climate that we see in college football. But man, they are fundamentally sound. They are disciplined. And they, for lack of a better way of putting it, they haul ass to get to the football. I love watching them play. You know, before we get into our takes on the BYU game and what's coming up on Saturday and get into a little recruiting news too, we're going to be joined now by Greg Wrubell, who is, as we said, part of the BYU Radio Network. He's going to talk with Kirby right now.
To get a closer look at this week's matchup between the Jayhawks and BYU, we are joined by Greg Rubel, who does the play-by-play for the BYU football games and several of their sports programs. Greg, thanks for joining us. How are you doing tonight?
Very well. My pleasure to be with you. Thanks for asking.
Well, I got to start off with this. It's the first Big 12 game for BYU heading to Lawrence. Just give us the vibe around the fan base and the program, you know, as you guys get ready to make the trip to Kansas and start that Big 12 journey.
It's been more than two calendar years since the invitation was officially extended to BYU to join the Big 12. So it's been a long wait to get to this moment. There have been different milestones and mileposts over the two-year span, you know, whether it's schedules coming out or, you know, officially joining the league in July 1st of this year, or, say, soccer and volleyball beginning competition with the Big 12 patch on, things like that. There have been different things that have kind of said you're in the Big 12, but the first football game, Big 12 against Big 12, is pretty special and has, I think, a unique meaning, and it's been a long time coming. BYU last played in the conference 13 years ago, and so it's been a long time since BYU played a game that mattered in the standings, the league standings, and it starts on Saturday in Lawrence.
So last week, a big win on the road at Arkansas. I mean, what did you learn from the team, and what did you take from that game?
Yeah, great win. What I took from it is that BYU doesn't have to be perfect in any one phase to play a really good game and beat a really good team. BYU gained fewer than 300 yards in offense in that game, but they still scored 38 points off of 281 yards. They did that by being plus in the turnover margin, by capitalizing on short fields that were gained by an average starting field position edge of plus 9 yards. Those are the kinds of things that keep you in and around football games. And Arkansas is a good football team. KJ Jefferson is an excellent quarterback, and there's speed and size all over that field. But BYU did the right things at the right time to get that win. By being down double digits twice in that game as well, down 14 in the first half, down 10 in the second half, they scored 21 straight in the first half, the final 17 in the second half to get that win. So there were a lot of great things on display. Resiliency, first and foremost, but the ability to, again, take the kind of cards that end up on the table and work with them. And again, it wasn't going to be a night where BYU had multiple 14, 15 play drives for 6 minutes and 80 yards. It was a different kind of game, but BYU took those sudden change moments, those turnover moments, and with quick strike scores and some ingenuity, found a way to pull out a big win in SEC country. Anytime you can go into an SEC venue on a Saturday night in a full house and get a win, it's so valuable. And the fact that it comes a week before you start P5 competition in your new league, I think has meaning as well.
Well, I can tell you this. The Kansas fans who are listening to this, they agree with you on KJ Jefferson, because last year in the Liberty Bowl, I'm telling you, the Kansas defense could not stop him. You know, I want to move to the BYU offense. Just tell me what kind of style they run and who are the players to watch on that side of the ball.
Well, what's interesting is that the players to watch coming into the season are different than the players to watch now. Keaton Slovis you knew about. I mean, after losing Jaren Hall to the NFL draft, Jaren Hall is now a quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. BYU went out and got one of the best transfer portal QBs you could find in Keaton Slovis. Keaton Slovis is a four-year P5 starter. I mean, to be able to bring a guy like that in to start your first year at a power conference league, I mean, what a blessing for BYU to get a Keaton Slovis to come to this school. So you knew about Keaton Slovis, but the top two returning receivers from last year, and by the way, we should note that Puka Nacua was the big name at BYU last year, and he's now a big name in the NFL. And Puka has taken the NFL by storm, and he was the guy last year for BYU. But right behind Puka Nacua was Cody Epps. And Cody Epps doesn't have a touch in three games. In the first two games he was in, he didn't play the first two because of injury. Got on the field in Fayetteville, but didn't have a touch. And so Cody Epps was supposed to be the guy. Well, through three games, and BYU's 3-0, no touches. Keanu Hill was right next to Cody in terms of playmaker. He has three catches, 41 yards, and a score. So not a lot there from Keanu, and he missed a game due to injury. So the guys you expected to be there in wide receiver, Epps and Hill, have not been the guys yet. Chase Roberts returned. He's been the leading receiver at wideout. Isaac Rex, you did know about. Isaac Rex has had 10 catches for 184 and a score, and he's a primetime player you knew would do well. But then guys like Darius Lassiter and Parker Kingston, Keelan Marion, these transfer players have come in and made a name for themselves. And maybe the biggest name that's emerged is a running back, a true freshman named L.J. Martin out of El Paso. When camp started, he was probably RB 4 or 5 in the depth. He went from 22 carries in his first two games combined to a 23-carry load against Arkansas, and he scored twice. So BYU's found a new starting running back in L.J. Martin, and maybe not the guy BYU thought they'd be riding. Aiden Robbins is a 1,000-yard transfer from UNLV last year, and he didn't get a touch in Fayetteville. So things have shifted around, and I guess the long answer to your question is players BYU expected to be the big names, only some of them have been to this point.
Hey, I got to ask you about one guy. When I went back and watched that BYU-Arkansas game, boy, that left tackle from BYU, he looks pretty good to me.
Kingsley Suamataia. He's an Oregon transfer, just started every game last year, and is projected as a pretty high NFL draft pick this upcoming season. So BYU hopes to get a strong 13 games at the left side from Kingsley. He's really a good one.
You know, moving over to the defense, I know Jay Hill, he's an experienced defensive coordinator. You know, just break down his scheme, what he tries to do, and back to the question of who are some players to watch there.
Yeah, he's made the team so much more effective and efficient than they were last year on defense. He was an FCS head coach at Weber State and dropped down, or rather went up a division to FBS to become an associate head coach and coordinator for Kalani Sitake, his old friend. They were together at Utah. And getting Jay Hill, again, as big as getting Keaton Slovis was on offense, getting Jay Hill on defense was as big as their coordinator. A much more disruptive, a much more havoc-based, a much more strong at corner defense this year, BYU is. They don't have to blitz a ton to be effective, too. Sam Pittman, the Arkansas head coach, said, these are his words now, he said, BYU whipped us on the edges and did it with four-man pressure. And if you can do it with four-man pressure, that's a pretty good sign. And the primary end, Tyler Batty, is this week's Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week. Career-high 9 tackles in Fayetteville. He leads BYU in tackles for loss and sacks right now this season. A true impact player at the rush end spot. So first and foremost, talk about Tyler Batty. In the secondary, Eddie Heckard was an All-American at Weber State with Jay Hill. Came up to the FBS, and Eddie Heckard is BYU's starting corner slash nickel. Big-time playmaker, had one of the biggest plays of the night Saturday in Fayetteville with a strip sack of KJ Jefferson, and then Batty, of all people, recovered the fumble. And that was a blitz moment, and Jay Hill has really picked his spots. But when he brings pressure, it's really effective. And the linebacking core was maybe the strength of the team coming into the season, and has proven to be that. Ben Bywater, Max Tooley, A.J. Vonk-Pachon. Vonk-Pachon, a transfer from Utah State. Tooley and Bywater came back. And Max Tooley in that Arkansas game, his 7th career interception at the linebacker spot. That's tough to do as a backer, but 7 career picks, and it set BYU up for the game-tying score in the second half. So those are some names to look for on a defense that has vastly improved over last year. BYU really struggled to get off the field on defense in 2022. They were a bottom 20 team in third-down defense. They're a top 15 team right now in third down defense.
All right, I'm going to wrap up my last question for you. I mean, just how do you see this matchup? And maybe, I don't know if it's a prediction, but just maybe how you see things playing out.
Well, Kansas looks so good right now in the ability to stay on the field, avoid punting, have possession time, use the explosives, ride Daniels and Neal, all the things you want to have up from an offense. You knew you had coming back if you're Kansas, and those guys have shown to be exactly what you thought you'd have if you're a Kansas Jayhawk fan. BYU, the offense isn't maybe totally on track yet. They're a low third down conversion number team right now. They're a low rush yard per game team right now, but they've been opportunistic. They're perfect in the red zone. They're 10 for 10 with 9 touchdowns. They're doing just the amount of things you want to do. If everything's not totally firing on all cylinders, they're finding a way. And so that's, to me, is kind of the storyline. Can a team that maybe is not quite all the way yet find a way against a team that's kind of firing on all cylinders? And one real great area of contrast is the fact that no one's punted more than BYU in the FBS, and no one's punted less than Kansas in the FBS. So one team's used to staying on the field. One team would like to spend more time on the field. You know, do those stats meet in the middle somewhat? And Lawrence becomes an interesting question on Saturday, I think.
That is Greg Wrubel, who does an amazing job with the BYU football play-by-play, and he and I were talking off the air. He's done a soccer game at KU, and he does a man of many voices. So, Greg, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, and you guys have a good trip to Lawrence this weekend.
Well, it's my pleasure. We're so looking forward to it. The first game of the Big 12 era, and really anticipating getting out to KU and soaking up all that the booth has to offer and having a fantastic Saturday. Thank you.
And if you needed a great breakdown of the BYU Cougars, that's it right there. Well done from the Cougars play-by-play man. John, let's start to dig into this thing now. You've got the floor. Break this one down and tell me what you see happening this Saturday.
Yeah, Randy, I said on the message board, you know, this is a game of matchups, okay? It really is. When you watch BYU, they're physical, okay? They're a north-south team. They were able to play that way against Arkansas, especially defensively, right? Because Arkansas was missing their top running back. And listen, KJ Jefferson is a tremendous quarterback. We saw that at the Liberty Bowl, right? I mean, we saw him run over KU for three quarters, basically. They couldn't stop him.
Yep.
But, you know, BYU was just kind of able to line up and go after him. And they got some pressure on him with four-man fronts and things like that. So they were able to play that style. So the difference is, Andy Kotelnicki isn't going to let them do that. He is going to try to make them play in space, and he is not going to be – they are not going to get to see what Arkansas' style of offense was. I'm still trying to figure BYU out, all right? I mean, they open up. They're tied 0-0 at the half against Sam Houston State. I'm trying more than anything trying to figure out how good BYU's offense is. Mm-hmm. So – you know, I'm sitting here going 0-0 against Sam Houston State. Boy, that's not very good. Well, then I started researching Sam Houston State. And I find out when you look at them, they just lost to Air Force last week 13-3. Okay? Air Force is pretty good offensively, and Sam Houston State held them to 13 points. So, obviously, Sam Houston State has some guys on defense, because if you're holding Air Force to 13, you're not bad. Then they played, I think it was Southern Utah. It's hard to figure out those games. So they didn't do a lot offensively against Arkansas. They came up with some opportunistic plays. They played physical. They played smart. And like we heard from Greg, and I've talked to some of the BYU people, I mean, they fell behind 14-0. Then they fell behind again by 10 points. So one thing you're going to learn with BYU, they're not going to quit. I mean, they're going to keep coming at you. You know, they're an experienced team. They have a prideful program under Coach Satake. I mean, they are going to keep fighting. Now, they were helped out, too, because Arkansas had 14 penalties and some killers that kept BYU drives alive. So, you know, I think the fact that they came back twice shows that they've got some fight. You know, I watched the quarterback from BYU, Slovis. You know, he's been at USC. He's been at Pitt. And he does. He throws a nice ball. He is not a mobile quarterback. And I got to tell you, there has to be some part of Borland and that staff and even the defensive players that know it's got to be nice going into a game that you don't have to sit there and concern yourself with the quarterback taking off and running. Now, he does throw a nice ball, and he really throws it well when he gets his feet set, which tells me, if I'm smart enough to figure that out, I think you're going to see pressure from the Kansas defense. I think Borland is going to bring some pressure, and I don't think they're going to let him get comfortable. BYU has a good offensive line. They're big. They're physical. A guy that started at Oregon, he's their left tackle. He'll play in the NFL. I want to say the center started at Utah. I mean, they've got some solid guys up front. And then defensively, BYU's got a really good front seven. But like I said, number 92, one of their rush ends, he's really good. They've got some active linebackers. But it's going to be interesting to see how they play when Kansas starts doing everything. One of the things, and I asked Jalen Daniels this, I said, you didn't do any quarterback run game. You didn't do any options. And I was trying to get it out of him. Is this to preserve your health, or is this just part of the game plan? He said it was absolutely part of the game plan. He said none of that was called, so he didn't run any. You didn't see JD doing a lot of that, you know, quarterback run game. You didn't even see him really scrambling a lot. You know, he kept some plays alive. So where I'm going with this is we didn't see much against Missouri State, and then we saw all kinds of fun stuff against Illinois. I don't know that we saw a lot against Nevada, and I think you're going to see the Kotelnicki special in full effect on Saturday. I think he's going to have some formations, some things that, you know, and I know Kansas did do some things where they lined up guys in different positions and moved some linemen around, but we didn't see the full effect, and I think you'll see that Saturday. So, you know, hey, Randy, one other thing, and I want to get into this. This is a key. This has been on our board a lot, the weather, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking 60 to 70% chance when you and I, we record this podcast late Wednesday night. So who knows what it's going to be by the time it kicks off. But you got 60-70% chance of rain, and then they're saying 20 to 30-mile-an-hour winds. That could play an effect. But here's my prediction. I'm staying with the home team, okay? I'm going with the Jayhawks. Second straight 4-0 start, which I can't even remember when the last time that could have happened, and maybe 92-ish.
I was going to say you're going back to Mason days for sure.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with the Jayhawks. I think it's going to be a competitive game, but I do like the style of matchups. I think Kansas can play their type of game. I'm going Jayhawks 31-24. Give me yours.
Oh, John, we've been doing this together too long. That's exactly what I was going to say.
No.
I'll go, just to be different, I'll say 34-24. I'll give it a little more of a differential. Those are exactly the numbers I was going to. I am not even kidding. In fact, I put together my prediction this morning while I was at work. And it was funny because as soon as I settled on it, I actually said to myself, I was like, watch John go copy my numbers again. And that's exactly what you did.
Man, we're going to have to start like creating a post on the message board. Uh-huh. And do in some way where you post your score and I post my score so the people out there don't think that we're coming up this close.
That's crazy, man. And like I say, I think we've just been doing this together for too long.
Yeah, but we've never agreed. Last year we started agreeing a little bit, and then this year we're like almost on the same exact page.
We're turning into an old married couple, John.
Well, hold on.
Oh, man. I think I agree with you, though. I think this is a game that is it's a tremendous matchup. I think, you know, there's the old saying, styles make fights. I think this is a tremendous matchup of two different kind of approaches. You know, you talk about BYU had the first true pocket passer that KU has seen in some time. I mean, obviously the first this year, but it's been a while since they've seen one of those traditional drop back and throw it kind of guys that just sits in the pocket. I mean, all we see in the Big 12 are guys that are true dual threats anymore. So, I mean, this is an opportunity for this defensive line that has looked very good to really be able to get after BYU here. I think I agree with you. I think that we're going to see Coach Borland bringing some pressure. We're going to see guys coming from everywhere. At the same time, I think they're going to mix it up some too. I think there are going to be situations where they're going to come, you know, they'll drop 7, drop 8 and see what they can do with the guys they have up front. Just because, I mean, this is, as you said, this is a big physical offensive line. They've got guys that have played a lot of football, whether it's been in Provo or other places. I love the matchup. I think this is going to be a ton of fun. And I agree with you. I see Kansas moving to 4-0. I see Jalen Daniels doing some big things. As you alluded to, I see Andy Kotelnicki. This will probably be the first time this season that we start to see his offense. What is it, the eight-headed dragon or whatever we've talked about a couple years ago, that you don't know where they're going to attack you? I think we're going to see a lot of that diversity in regards to where they're attacking on the field, the formations, the looks, the things like that they're going to give. And I'm excited to see.
Well, Randy, I'm going to jump in and say one thing, and I do think this is going to be a matchup that will be intriguing, is the fact BYU pressured KJ Jefferson all night. Mm-hmm. And they did it with four guys. And I will say, when I watched that game, that did concern me some. Because if you can have four guys and they can get home on Jalen Daniels or flushing from the pocket, and you can still keep 7 in coverage or on the field of play where you're not having to blitz, because I'll tell you, that's where JD hurts you. Boy, you blitz or you get out of place, he'll elude you or scramble or get around you. Next thing you know, he's going to find a hole. But if you can get home with four and keep 7 guys in coverage, you know, that's kind of what Iowa State's done, is they've lined up in the past where they always, you know, last year they gave them a lot of trouble, and it's a three-man front, and every now and then they'll bring four, but they disguise their looks and they keep guys in coverage, and they're able to get pressure with that front three or four. So that's one of the things that did concern me watching BYU against Arkansas.
I think we'll see some of that, and I also think, too, that with that being able to drop seven, drop eight, they're going to spy Jalen. They're going to have somebody that is on him at all times, that is just shadowing him and kind of mirroring him across the field, because that's the last thing they want, is for him to get out in space and have opportunities to, you know, have that two-way go. Can he, you know, get out on the edge? Can he throw it? Can he run it? He's got the opportunity to do both. And that's, nobody wants to see that. I'm super excited to see some of the wrinkles, not only that Kansas is going to bring, but some of the things that BYU is going to do to try to combat this Kansas offense and see how they do with the bullets flying. All right, John, we've talked about this game. We've gotten into it, broken it down. Now, we've been talking for several weeks. Obviously, the first two home games were Friday night games. Recruiting just was a non-factor because of high school games across, you know, really throughout the country happening on Friday nights. This is the first fall Saturday. A real college football Saturday for the Jayhawks this year. So we're going to finally be able to talk about some recruiting, as we've got a number of guys that are expected in Lawrence on Saturday. Before we get into that, though, speaking of guys, you had a chance to talk with Isaiah Marshall earlier this week, Kirby. Let's hear him tell us a little bit about the great start that he's gotten off to this year.
We are joined by Isaiah Marshall, who is one of the top dual-threat quarterbacks in the country from Southfield A&T in Michigan, and he is committed to the Jayhawks. Isaiah, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing well. So I've got to ask you this. Every time I look up, every Saturday, every Sunday, there's a new clip of you doing something. There's something out there of you putting up big yards. Just tell me how your season's going so far.
So I think the season's going, it's going good so far. We're 4-0. We had some great big wins. Each win we had, you know, the offense had to score last minute and the defense got to stop. So they're great wins, and the season's going good. We should go 9-0 and win a state championship.
Tell me about yourself, man. How do you feel like you've been playing?
You know, I think I've been playing, good too. You know, making good decisions, just helping the people around me make plays and just, you know, and just help my team get the win. So I think I've been doing that very good lately.
You know, I'm sure the Kansas coaches have been following you, but what about you? Have you been following the Jayhawks and keeping tabs on them? And what do you think about watching them?
Yes, I have. You know, I've seen their first three games. Their offense was very explosive and it looked fun. So I can't wait to, be a part of that, and they're doing great so far. So, and I'm also going to the BYU game this weekend.
Well, that was one of my questions I was going to ask you, is if you plan to get back out. So I did not know you were coming, so that's big news for the fans to hear that. Just tell me about coming back out. What are you looking for? What are you hoping to see?
You know, I'm just hoping for just a good vibe, just to watch some great football and just to talk to the coaches again, just to see them back in person. So I can't wait to just see the campus again and just be around everybody.
You know, I've heard, you know, the coaches reach out to a lot of the recruits on Tuesday evenings during the season. I've heard they've been staying in contact with you. Just what's it like talking to the guys and keep getting to know them? I know Coach Simpson you've known, and obviously, you know, Coach Leipold and Coach Z and Kotelnicki. What's it like just staying in touch with all those guys and talking with them and continue to build that relationship?
You know, like, it's great just knowing that they're talking to me, like, every week. And just talk to someone, like, the phone is just great vibes. And it's just fun to talk to Coach Z. Coach Z's a great dude. And, you know, it's just fun talking to all the coaches, because I do get to talk to all of them. And it's just great. It's just great to talk to them and just see their faces again through the phone.
I'm sure you've watched and seen some of the things about the new facilities, obviously the weight room, the locker room already, and then just some of the upgrades are going to come to the stadium while you're there, while you're a Jayhawk, this is going to happen. And as they keep winning and you look at the facilities and what they're doing with the program, how much can this help with recruits in the next couple of years?
You know, I think it can help a lot because I think recruits, you know, there's some recruits who look for a program that can win. And I think if we keep, you know, doing that, then it's going to help a lot because people want to be a part of a team that wins a lot. And, you know, and that's what they're doing so far. So I think it's going to help a lot.
All right. Talk about the footprint there in Detroit. Obviously, Kansas has had a lot of success with guys from Detroit. And, you know, Coach Simpson's always going to recruit that area. You know, do you talk to recruits and people around there about your experiences that you've had and try to get, you know, spread the message about KU in your area?
Yes, I definitely do. You know, I'm still trying to get Nick Marsh over here. But I think just Detroit and Kansas have a great connection because of the past people that's, you know, that's there and that's there now. So it's just great. You know, it's just great that the Detroit people are doing so good at Kansas.
All right, my last question for you. I know you're focused on your high school team and winning the state championship, and I know that's your goal. But how crazy is it for you to think 4 months from now you're going to be arriving on KU campus because you're coming in early? How is that? That's got to hit you a little bit.
Yes, it does hit me just a little bit because it came so fast. You know, we're already in, like, the midseason, which is week five, and, you know, I love high school. I love my team, and I don't want to leave, but at the same time, I do because I'm ready to, you know, to go to college. But you know, it did hit me, and you know, I'm just a little sad, but you know, I'm ready for it and I'm prepared. So,
well, you still got some unfinished business to take care of, and that goal of winning the state title. So, hey, Isaiah, listen, we'll definitely see you this weekend, and I appreciate you joining us on the podcast.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you for having me.
Great stuff there from Isaiah Marshall. John, you've got an update on his status and who else we can expect to see in Memorial Stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, just as we get done with the interview, you know, I'm talking with him on Tuesday, and then later that night he sends me a text and says, hey, I just want to let you know I'm not going to be able to make the game. So during the interview, he tells me he's coming to the game. That's the first time I knew that he was coming, so I was like, oh, that's cool, you're coming to the BYU game. People will love to hear that. And then he found out, his dad said, it's grandma's 97th birthday this weekend.
Oh,
so they
oh,
are,
man.
They are not going to make the trip. So
no,
I could tell he felt bad that he had just done this interview and then now he's not making the trip, but hey, it's all good. And that was a good listen to just hear him talk about being in touch with the Kansas coaches. And he's off to a great start. He's not coming, but his friend and 4-star commit, Jalen Todd, will be there. So somebody
there
from Michigan is making the trip. Obviously, we're going to have Michael Boganowski there, right? He's the guy that's catching a lot of headlines, the top player in the state. Another commit, Carson Brunn, will be there. A couple of offensive linemen. We touched on these guys last week on the podcast. Brock Heath and Andrew Babalola from Blue Valley Northwest.
Yes, those monster tackles.
They'll both be there. Remember this name, John Michael Fountain. Remember that name. He's an athlete from Wichita Northwest. I talked to Steve Martin the other day. He'll be there. He's a 2026 kid. Randy, I wouldn't be shocked if he gets an offer from Kansas. Logan Christensen, a safety from Jezera Catholic in California. Charlie Woldman, a defensive end from DeSoto. We've talked about him. C.J. Simon, a wide receiver from Oklahoma. He'll be there. So, and I know on their Tuesday night calls, they talked to Isaiah Mosley and Dak Brinkley, and Harry Stewart, who are committed. And then Landon Rink, they actually talked to him on Tuesday, a 4-star defensive end out of Texas. You know, he's going to be a tough get, but they got him on the phone. So that's kind of a little look of what we're expecting. I'm going to have some more names I'll be posting on the message board probably later on Thursday and Friday.
It's going to be a huge, huge day on Saturday. I know we were talking a little bit about the weather. I just, out of curiosity, I went ahead and pulled it up. And, you know, I think it's going to be really, like you said, it's going to be interesting to see. Because I'm looking right now, Saturday in Lawrence, high of 88 with a 65% chance of rain. Saying PM thunderstorms, partly cloudy with afternoon showers with thunderstorms. Chance of rain, 70% is what it's saying. And then that night, dropping to 61, and it's nearly a 90% chance of storms. So, I mean, I think we're going to get some. And what they're saying Saturday night, 1 to 2 inches of rain expected. I hope we don't get that kind of rainfall during the game, but man, it's going to be interesting to see not just what happens on the field, but what we're getting on the field from up in the sky too. That is the final word. That will do it for another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast pregame edition. You heard us recap the win over Nevada. John Kirby and I dug in and made the exact same predictions for the BYU-Kansas matchup this weekend. We talked about what to look for. We also got into some recruiting news, gave you everything you need. You are now primed and ready for the Jayhawks Big 12 opener against BYU. For my man John Kirby, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawksSlant.com. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawksSlant.com.